This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, the ACC has a new schedule starting next year. And I like it. I think it's a good idea. Plus, we'll get back to our quarterback conversation. Which divisions in the NFL are the best quarterbacks? What could somebody like a Baker Mayfield mean for the Panthers? And a whole lot more here in the final hour. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcasts. And the podcast is also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Just click on our show page and find the podcast there. You can also leave a comment for the show at charlestonsportsradio.com by clicking on our show page. You can get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Or you can give us a call to join the conversation as well, 843-721-9500. Hey, don't forget, there's a blood drive going on tomorrow at Cruz Subaru from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. tomorrow. All donors will receive a $35 gift card for service, parts, accessories at Cruz Subaru. You can head over to redcrossblood.org, use the sponsor code CRUZ to make your appointment. Walk-ins are accepted, appointments are preferred, but a Red Cross blood drive going on tomorrow at Cruz Subaru from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Go give blood, help somebody out, help save lives. Plus, you get a $35 gift card. And then how about this? When you give blood at Cruz Subaru Wednesday, you also get a free pint of frozen custard at Culver's. How about that? I think Culver's, I've always said Arby's is the most underrated fast food chain. I would also put Culver's up there. I like Culver's.
Oh, yeah. Culver's is very good.
Yeah, big
Culver's. Burgers
are
great. The cheese curds are nice.
Yes.
The custard's great.
I don't know if I've ever had custard. I don't remember, like, actively having custard. Are you a custard guy?
I mean, yeah, I would say I don't have it enough. That's the thing. There was this place up north that I used to go, Rita's. You know about Rita's?
Of
yeah,
course.
I know they have a couple around here, and yeah, they did great custard. But you had to pair it with the other flavors as well, because it only works, like, if you're doing, like, blue raspberry and custard, it tastes gross. But if you're doing, like, vanilla custard, chocolate custard, very good.
Do you do frozen yogurt at all?
I try to get some fro. I'm not a big ice cream guy.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, like, I'm not a big, like, cookies and cream or anything. You know what I do? I go to the store, and I get the gelato. And I get a raspberry cheesecake gelato, and I get a Madagascar vanilla bean gelato.
Oh.
And that's what I do for my desserts.
All right. That's fair.
Yeah, you should like gelato.
Yeah, I could get along. I could get along with that. I can't eat ice cream. So as somebody who can't have it, to hear somebody else who chooses not to have it, such an offense.
I mean, I won't pass up a froyo opportunity if it comes,
froyo.
But I'm not, you know, sitting here, Luke, and saying, you know, when I get off today, I'm going to go to the froyo spot and get me a nice big old tub of froyo.
Well, that's where you and I differ. I'll daydream about a nice froyo. I fill it up with all the different candy. Oh, I love a good frozen yogurt. So how would you power rank? Ice cream, frozen yogurt, custard.
Oh, good one. I would say, can we throw gelato in there?
Sure. I imagine that's number one.
Gelato's number one, and then I'd probably go froyo, custard. No, actually, ice cream, then custard.
Ooh, I was going to say, that would be a big upset.
They're all good, though. That's the thing. Like, you can't really go wrong. There's just some flavors, but, like, the classic flavors of normal ice cream, I can't get behind. I don't know. It just doesn't do it for me.
Interesting. I'm going to have to try custard. I don't know if custard, I can't have ice cream. I'm not lactose intolerant, but ice cream's the one thing that just, it doesn't work with me.
How about anybody send us over some custard, please?
Yeah.
We're here for about another hour.
That's right. Go donate blood. We'll take your free pint of frozen custard at Culver's tomorrow at Cruz Subaru. We'll be on the air. Otherwise, I'd go do it at Cruz Subaru tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in North Charleston. So you donate blood, you get a $35 gift card, and you get a free pint of frozen custard at Culver's.
That you will bring to the radio station.
That's right.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to try some custard
And because I'm sure I've had it in my life, I just don't remember it. Love a good frozen yogurt, though, I'll tell you that much.
Custard's very smooth, I will say. Very smooth. It's a different texture.
I did look it up. It's supposed to be healthier, a lot healthier than ice cream. So, supposed to be. So, there's a good alternative for you. Go to Culver's, get some custard instead.
It's like the balsamic vinegar Coke.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, we all know, right? The things that are supposed to be better for you don't actually taste as good. So, you know. With that said, go get some custard, but I don't know if it holds a candle to ice cream. I'll have to do a taste test. That'll be our next taste test. We'll get some custard in here. We'll get custard. We'll get frozen yogurt. We'll get ice cream. We'll get gelato. We'll do a full power ranking.
I can get behind that.
That'd be a good day. Maybe we'll do that on a nice hot summer day. Hey, tonight they're coming out with the third and fourth parts of a documentary. You may have saw the first two parts. ESPN's putting they put together a documentary, and it's called 37 Words, and it's about Title IX and the impact with women's athletics. This is the 50th anniversary of Title IX. So Dawn Staley, I guess, is heavily involved in the parts that are coming out tonight. Parts 3 and 4 airing tonight starting at 8 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN+. And here's the trailer involving Dawn Staley to promote this documentary tonight that I guess she plays a big part in tonight. So if you're a Gamecock fan, check it out. 8 p.m. on ESPN. Here's a snippet of Dawn Staley in this documentary that will be airing tonight.
Here's what you need to do. You need to start prioritizing basketball. That's what you need to do. The intensity is raising, and we fight for wins. That's what we do, okay? Because we know the feeling of losing.
Here we go, one, two, three, together.
Young people in college are in the most transformational years of their lives. I meet young people where they are, and I try to take them where they want to go. I've been so fortunate to be able to do the things that come naturally to me. What does it feel like to participate in sports? It is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's like second skin. Because I was able to express myself through my play. I was singularly focused on how basketball made me feel, that all the other stuff around it really didn't matter. I have never been without basketball. I felt like it was always readily available to me, and I always have been given the tools that I needed to be successful at the right time.
Dawn Staley as part of the documentary 37 Words. The first two parts aired last Tuesday. The final two parts will air tonight at 8 p.m. on ESPN, so check it out. 37 Words about Title IX, as it's the 50th anniversary of Title IX, which really changed everything for women's athletics. And Dawn Staley is very much involved in the part of the docu-series that airs tonight. So if you're a Gamecock fan, if you're a basketball fan, if you're a college sports fan, whatever, if you're a sports history fan, whatever it may be, check it out tonight. 37 Words, including Dawn Staley tonight on ESPN. Hey, the ACC announced their new schedule that's going to take place next year. And they're going with a 3-5-5 structure. They're getting rid of divisions. We're just going to have the ACC. They're going to take the two best teams in the ACC title game, something I've been clamoring for years. It never made any sense to have divisions and take the two division winners. We're just going to have the two best teams in the conference championship, and they're going to go 3-5-5, which means you have three opponents that you play every year, and then you'll play five different ones, and then the next year you'll play the other five. You'll rotate those other 10 teams. This is another thing I've been clamoring for years, that if you go to, let's say, Clemson, and you spend all 4 years at Clemson, you should play in every stadium of the conference. It makes no sense that Alabama comes to Columbia once every 12 years, right? Or they go to Florida once every 12 years, whatever it is in the SEC. Makes no sense. You could go to a school, and you graduate years later, you meet somebody, oh, you played football at Alabama. What was it like playing at Florida? I don't know. We never did in my 4 years. It makes no sense, the scheduling. So I like this. I like, number one, you get rid of divisions starting next year. And number two, 3-5-5. Personally, I don't know if you need three set opponents every year, but that's fine because still with this structure, it allows you to play every team twice in a four-year window. Therefore, home once, on the road once in those 4 years. Obviously, not everybody's going to stay at their school for 4 years, but theoretically speaking, your college career theoretically is 4 years. Over that time, You will play every team in the ACC, and you will play in every stadium in the ACC. So I like it. In regards to Clemson, the three teams that are set on their schedule are the three that I heard thrown around when this conversation began. Most people thought these would be the three, but it's Florida State, it's Georgia Tech, it's NC State. Intriguing. Those are the three teams Clemson will face every year. I think you could do a lot harder than those three. Now, Florida State, if they ever get back to where they once were, that becomes a tougher game. Florida State right now, not all that challenging to have to face them every year. To face Georgia Tech every year, right? Same idea. If they get back to maybe where they were a decade ago or even go back to 30 years ago, okay. That could be a little more challenging. Right now, I mean, they haven't won more than three games the last 3 years. That's a team that, yeah, you'd like to have on the schedule every year. Then you get to NC State's the third one. NC State's kind of the opposite. That right now, NC State is playing at their pinnacle under this this era, right? Under this coaching staff. But historically, maybe not the toughest matchup to have to endure in the ACC. But for Clemson, moving forward, starting next year, they'll face Florida State, Georgia Tech, NC State every year. I had given you my three originally. I think just for – I'm not a Clemson fan. I don't have some sort of emotional connection to another school in the conference or some sort of quasi-rivalry. For me, most interesting, like I would love to see them play Miami every year. Miami is always one of the more interesting brands in the conference, and I do think under Mario Cristobal they'll become one of the better teams. I think that would be great for the ACC to have Clemson and Miami face one another every year moving forward. I think that would be a lot of fun. Just in the short term, it would be great if they did face Tony Elliott and Virginia every year, but I don't think I'd make them a specific candidate. I do like NC State. You know, they're used to playing in the same division. NC State is, to me, probably the biggest challenger this year to Clemson, at least in that division. And there's been some sort of rivalry that has been birthed over the years between those two as well. And then Florida State, too, right? You have Clemson and Florida State are the two that have dominated the ACC. So those are solid ones as well. I just wish, selfishly, I would love to see Miami and Clemson year after year, as long as Mario Cristobal is there. But we will get that matchup now more often with this new change. Divisions have long been pointless in these conferences, and so I'm glad we're doing away with said divisions. I also think it will help Clemson that if you get to the ACC title game and you win the conference, it boosts your resume, that you beat the second-best team, truly the second-best team in the ACC, whether that's NC State, Wake Forest, Pittsburgh, Miami, whoever it may be, instead of just facing, say, a 6-6 team that happened to win the Coastal, because the Coastal always is so topsy-turvy and unpredictable and chaotic. They're not always one of the best teams in the conference. So I do think that helps Clemson, that whoever wins the ACC will have another – they'll have a better win on their resume from that ACC title game. I would also say that when you go back and you look – the reason why I never like divisions, there's a few reasons, but one of the reasons is because when you go back and you look at these conferences, the conferences have typically been dominated by the same division. In the SEC, the West has been much better than the East. In the Big Ten, you have Ohio State and Michigan, and their division's a lot better than the other one with Minnesota and Iowa and all those other schools. And in the ACC, largely because of Clemson, but you know their division has been better, and the Coastal has been that... we call it Coastal Chaos. Every year you don't know who's going to be good. None of those teams you can rely on, and a different team has won the Coastal every year for like a decade. It's like the NFC East. None of those teams are predictable. You have no idea who's going to be good year after year. They're all very inconsistent. But the same divisions keep dominating. So I think, A, it's better to kind of spread the wealth, but also, B, I would say that we've seen the champions oftentimes do come from tough divisions. Right, Alabama has played probably in the best division in college football, and they've been the best team. Ohio State comes from the better division in the Big Ten, and they've been the best team in the Big Ten. And when you look at the NFL, I made this case last year, that the two teams that reached the Super Bowl in the NFL were from the two best divisions in football, the Rams and the Bengals. And the two teams that were the most disappointing in the playoffs last year, Titans and the Packers, came from the easiest divisions. And I think there's something to be said for having to deal with those tests throughout the regular season. The Avalanche just won the Stanley Cup. People believe the West was better this year with the Avalanche. The Warriors won the NBA Finals. I think you can make an argument that between the Phoenix Suns, who had the best record, and then even just the Mavs, I mean, the Warriors were a four seed. The West was probably more challenging. than a lot of teams in the East. And so by doing this, you open up the field more to these other teams. You make it more of a level playing field than the teams that are in a division that's harder than the other. The other side doesn't necessarily go through those same tests. And so it's good for crowning a real champion. It's good for getting these teams prepared. It's good for scheduling purposes. I'm all for it. I like it. Get rid of divisions. Let's make sure you're playing these different teams every couple of years so you face everybody in your conference. I don't see anything you can really complain about in all this. I think it's good. And for Clemson moving forward, they'll face the same three teams starting next year. It'll be Florida State, Georgia Tech, and NC State. Coming up, which conferences, or I should say, which divisions in the NFL have the best group of quarterbacks this year? We'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It's the Morrow Midday Show at Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, what are the best divisions for quarterbacks in the NFL this year? We'll rank them in just a moment here on the Morrow Midday Show. I feel pretty good about some of these. I think some are pretty obvious. Other ones, not so sure. So, Trent, I'm going to need your input here. But
ooh, lovely.
As I ranked the top divisions in the NFL for quarterbacks, I think number one, right, is obvious. I think everybody would agree it's the AFC West. And it's the one division that has four potentially really good quarterbacks between Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert. If Carr is the worst quarterback you have, you're doing pretty good. In fact, it may be the best division of quarterbacks we've ever had. We did that exercise on the show previously. Number two, I would say the AFC North because you have Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson is in the division. Is he going to play this year? I don't know. And then Mitch Trubisky or Kenny Pickett as your worst quarterback, not terrible. Maybe Kenny Pickett develops into something nice. But the AFC North has three high-end quarterbacks at minimum. Third best division for quarterbacks, I put NFC West. Matt Stafford, Kyler Murray, and then Jimmy Garoppolo or Drew Lock. It's not a strong finish. Garoppolo's good enough to get you to the NFC title game at least. But the NFC West with Matt Stafford and Kyler Murray, you get two good names, at least two. Garoppolo's solid. And Geno Smith, Drew Lock kind of brings you down. I put him at third. Don't feel great about it. But then I was thinking about the other options. Because fourth, I would say the NFC North. You have Aaron Rodgers. And you have Kirk Cousins, who probably most people are out on. But statistically has been a pretty good quarterback. And then you look at the third quarterback, Jared Goff has at least been to a Super Bowl as your third best quarterback. Justin Fields, I don't expect much from him this year. Maybe he develops into somebody. And that's your worst quarterback you have. So maybe it's more based off of potential for the North, but I put the NFC North at number four. Because as we continue on, I think you'll see that a lot of these divisions are a little more up in the air or maybe unpredictable. Fifth, I go with the NFC East. Led by Dak Prescott. Then we could debate who may be the second best quarterback. Is it Jalen Hurts? You have Carson Wentz in there. And I may be biased towards Daniel Jones, but I've always been a little bit of a Daniel Jones guy. Maybe he'll fully put things together this year at Brian Daboll. Sixth, for best quarterbacks in the division, I go AFC South. And in the AFC South, I'm not too big on really any of these guys. I think Ryan Tannehill, I don't know if I could even call him overrated. But I'm not too high on Tannehill. He's been carried by Derrick Henry. Matt Ryan, at this point in his career, is 38 years old. He hasn't been great the last couple years. Trevor Lawrence may turn into a great quarterback, but let's call it what it is. He was one of the five worst quarterbacks in the league last year. And Davis Mills was the best of the rookie quarterbacks, but there really aren't high hopes for Davis Mills with the Texans. We'll see if he develops into anything of substance. The AFC South, I put at number six.
And then at number seven, I have the NFC South, which may sound like blasphemy with Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback of all time. How can you put him at seven? But the rest of the quarterbacks, to me, are so poor. Jameis Winston's your second-best quarterback. And then you get to Sam Darnold and Marcus Mariota, which may be the worst combination of a 3-4 option in the league. But that means that I put the AFC East last. Now, I'll be honest with you. I put this list together earlier, and I just looked back at it as we were getting ready to do this, and I thought, well, I had the AFC East last, so maybe I would adjust that. But when I first thought about this earlier today, I thought the AFC East was the division with the worst quarterbacks. Obviously, you have Josh Allen, who may be the MVP this year. But then you have Mac Jones, who I know he went to the playoffs as a rookie last year, but seems to have already hit his ceiling. Maybe more of a game manager than a game changer. You have Tua, who I've never been sold on, and I don't know if he'll even have the starting job by the end of the year. And you have Zach Wilson, who I don't think is that great. So as good as Josh Allen is, I think he's being brought down by the other quarterbacks. I don't know if there's even a number two quarterback in that division. Similar to the NFC South, I don't know if there's a number two quarterback in that division either. I'm not that high on Jameis Winston. But at least you have Tom Brady. We're comparing Tom Brady to Josh Allen, and as good as Josh Allen is, Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. So I guess that's my thought process to put the NFC South ahead of the AFC East. I think the AFC East may be the worst division of quarterbacks. That's how I would order them. AFC West, I think, is clearly one. Then AFC North, NFC West, NFC North, NFC East, AFC South, NFC South. Bad quarterback play in the South. And then the AFC East is the worst. Now, Trent, I then turn to you. Would you agree AFC West, best division of quarterbacks in the league this year?
Oh, not even close. Not even close. I mean, just go down the list. Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, Justin Herbert. Right then and there, that's, I mean, top 10 quarterbacks. There's probably at least three of them are in the top 10 in the NFL right now. So I would agree 100%. It's not even close.
Yes, I agree. I think that's the easiest part. I think everybody's list starts with them. I also feel pretty good about number two, the AFC North. Lamar, Burrow, let's count Deshaun Watson, and then whoever in Pittsburgh. Would you say AFC North has the second best?
Yeah, I think I would agree just because of how impressive Joe Burrow was last year, and we've kind of seen that he's a top five guy in the NFL. Lamar Jackson, obviously. I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's a great quarterback, MVP. Deshaun Watson, even though he probably won't be playing for at least a year, probably a couple years, you can still count him in this. And when he is playing, he's a top 10 quarterback. And then Mitch Trubisky, you know, the guy, I mean, he's been to playoffs before. That's a good sign. So, yeah. I mean, it's close between the NFC West and the AFC North. Now, I mean, if Jimmy Garoppolo was the starting quarterback for the 49ers, would you put the NFC West in the second position? Because right now it's got to be Trey Lance, right? Are you looking at it as Trey Lance as a starting quarterback?
No, I even included Garoppolo.
Okay.
Because the way I look at it is if I were to order them, let's say just take the top three, Stafford, Kyler Murray, Jimmy Garoppolo versus Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
Right, I would take those three. But skipping ahead, so does that mean you would put NFC West third?
I would put not even close. With Kyler Murray and Matt Stafford, just them alone. And I know that kind of the jury's out on Kyler Murray. I still think he's a very good quarterback, and he can make plays. Obviously, we saw it. He's got good numbers. Can't really finish in the playoffs. The body language is an issue, no doubt about it. But I do think he's a very good quarterback.
All right, so we're on the same page through the first three.
Yeah.
Then maybe, I don't know, maybe this is where we differ. I went NFC North fourth because of Rodgers, of course. Kirk Cousins is not a bad two option, and then you got Jared Goff, three, who went to a Super Bowl, and Justin Fields maybe is promising as the worst quarterback in the division.
Yeah.
I put the NFC North as the fourth best division for quarterbacks. Would you put the NFC North fourth?
Yeah, I mean, just solely because of AR-12. I mean, right then and there, that's when you put them as the fourth best. Kirk Cousins, like you said, the numbers are there. The winning percentage isn't there, but the numbers are there. He is a decent starting quarterback in the NFL, richer than everybody, but still a decent starting quarterback. And Jared Goff, like you mentioned, has been to a Super Bowl. He's not going to look great with the Detroit Lions. He didn't look great when the Rams' tenure was kind of ending, no doubt about it. Now, was that Sean McVay and him kind of having a little rift? Who knows? But, yeah, I think I would agree with you because if I look at the NFC East, it's like Dak Prescott's carrying the weight. Carson Wentz, jury's out on him. We know what's going on with Carson Wentz. And just because Aaron Rodgers is in there, I would say that they're the fourth.
So you mentioned the NFC East. I put them next. Yeah. So the four divisions we have left, AFC East, NFC and AFC South, NFC East. So the two East divisions, the two South divisions. Out of those four, I said the NFC East has the best group of quarterbacks. Would you agree or disagree?
I would agree. I would agree wholeheartedly. Yeah, I mean, just list out the quarterbacks, right? The AFC South, Davis Mills, Matt Ryan, Trevor Lawrence and Ryan Tannehill versus Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Carson Wentz, and Daniel Jones, your guy. Yeah, I'd probably put right now the NFC East above those guys.
All right, so now we're down to three divisions. Let's reverse engineer this. AFC East, AFC South, NFC South. Let's jump to the back of the list. Of those three, which division do you think has the worst quarterbacks in the NFL?
I would say I disagree with you. I would say that the NFC South has the worst in the NFL just because, I mean, yes, Tom Brady is there, and I know it's Josh Allen versus Tom Brady, but when you look at the other starting quarterbacks, Jameis Winston, we know what Jameis is. He threw 30 interceptions in a singular season. Sam Darnold, are you kidding me? Who else? Is going to be Matt Corral? Yeah, no thanks. Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder, get out of here. No way they're going to win any kind of games. That's why I would put them as the worst division. And I'm a big Josh Allen guy. I've kind of skewed a little bit. I'm starting to believe in Tua just a tad. So I would put the NFC South as the worst in football right now.
We'll circle back to that in a moment because that's part of this whole exercise. But that takes me to my final question. With that said, if you think the AFC East is better than the NFC South, and hopefully those listening know their divisions well so they can keep up with all this, the last question then is to figure out the 7 and the 6 spots. Is the AFC East better than the AFC South or is the East the second worst division for quarterbacks?
I would say the AFC South is worse than the AFC East right now. It may just be I believe in a couple of the young guys in the AFC East more than I believe in Davis, Dougie Mills, more than I believe in Trevor Lawrence, and more than I believe in Ryan Tannehill. And Matt Ryan, I understand that, you know, he's one of the greater quarterbacks we've had in the last, 15, 20 years. He's an MVP. He's also 38, 39 years old. In a system where they run the ball a ton, and also that he doesn't have any pass catchers that are have any credibility whatsoever. Last year, obviously, he had Kyle Pitts, Cordell Patterson. Year before that, Julio kind of on the back end, but you had Calvin Ridley catching balls for you. That makes the post route that Matt Ryan loves to throw off the play action look absolutely beautiful. So I would say the AFC East is a little bit better than the AFC South right now. I just think that because of how good Josh Allen is.
Yeah.
Like, when you look at Josh Allen, obviously, he's the odds-on favorite to win the MVP. It's not even close. And the way he's going to be running the ball as well. And, you know, I'm not a huge Tua hater. And I'm also – I've been hating on Zach Wilson a lot. But I'm starting to come around for Zach Wilson a little bit. I think he has an improved year, too.
There's definitely more potential in the AFC East. I do agree with you with those three quarterbacks. And they're so young, Jones, Tua, and Zach Wilson, that it could turn into a pretty good division. We agreed on the first five. Some disagreements at the bottom of the list, including Trent would put the NFC South last. I had them second to last. But that takes me to my next point in that as we wait on this whole Deshaun Watson saga and the punishment with his hearing beginning today, I made the case earlier, we played the clip from Mike Tannenbaum, that if you do get a year suspension, if Deshaun's out for the full year, do you go back with Baker, if you're Cleveland, and try to make things work? And if you do, that means Baker would no longer be available for a team like the Panthers. Now, I don't know how great of an upgrade Baker would be to Carolina over Sam Darnold. I do think it'd be an upgrade. How large? I don't know. We would have to find out. But if you go back and you look last year, look at the NFL and the standings. You could see usually a difference between the top two teams and the bottom two teams, and it was in quarterbacks. And if we go division by division, in the AFC East, the Dolphins and the Jets were the two worst teams. I think they had the two worst quarterbacks. AFC North, a little bit different. The Ravens were so beat up, including Lamar Jackson. And the Browns, Baker Mayfield was injured last year. So they had the two unhealthy quarterbacks. They finished in the bottom of the division. In the AFC South, Texans Jaguars, right, had two rookie quarterbacks. They finished in the bottom of the division. AFC West, the Broncos with Drew Locke did have the worst quarterback. They finished in last. This may be the one outlier in that the Chargers finished third instead of the Raiders. I think Justin Herbert's a better quarterback than Carr. Then if you go to the NFC, the Giants and the Washington football team, when they were starting Taylor Heineke, were the two worst teams in the East last year, had the two worst quarterbacks. In the NFC North, Justin Fields, Jared Goff, compared to Cousins and Rodgers, right? Those were the bottom two teams. NFC South, Falcons, Panthers, neither got good quarterback play, two worst teams in the South. And the NFC West, the Seahawks, Russell Wilson was injured. And the 49ers, they finished in third. I do think Kyler Murray is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But also, the Niners were in third place despite winning 10 games. So you almost can't count them. But the point being, when you look at the teams that finish in the bottom half of the division, they usually have the bottom two quarterbacks. And then the top two quarterbacks usually finish in the top half of the division. And if I look at the NFC South with Carolina, and that division that is so bad in quarterback play. If you get a Baker Mayfield, could he be the second-best quarterback in the NFC South? Could he play better in Carolina this year than Jameis Winston in New Orleans? And if he does, could that be enough to be a top-two team in a weak NFC and somehow get a wild-card spot? I don't know if Baker would be good enough to lead the Panthers in the wild-card race. I also don't know how many wins it would require to be a wild-card team in the NFC this year. Maybe we get some sort of 8-9 team or 9-8. I don't know what to expect out of this conference. But when I look at the NFC South, maybe Baker. I'm not big on Jameis Winston, especially now without Sean Payton and Dennis Allen's running the show. He's a defensive coach who didn't work the first time as a head coach. If you bring in Baker Mayfield and Christian McCaffrey's actually healthy this year, and now you have Ben McAdoo running the show who did a good job calling plays in New York originally, maybe you could field the second-best quarterback in the division. And if you do, maybe that's enough to be a top-two team in the division, then maybe that's enough to be in the playoff race and potentially get a wild card. But the NFC South is so bad with quarterbacks, Sam Darnold included, right, that if you try to bring in Baker and maybe things click and now he's healthy and he has that chip on his shoulder and it'll be a contract year and he'll be motivated, and you have Ben McAdoo calling plays, maybe that's a better matchup, and you have Christian McCaffrey in the backfield. I know he played with a lot of talent in Cleveland, but McCaffrey would be quite the boost to your backfield as a quarterback in a bad division, weak conference. Right, you could beat the Falcons twice, maybe even beat the Saints twice, a couple of wins there. Maybe that could be enough for the Panthers to try to do something this year. Problem is, as I said earlier, if Deshaun gets a full year suspension, does Baker no longer become available? Is he taken off the table by Cleveland trying to make things work? If you're a Panthers fan, I do think you pay attention to what's happening here with Deshaun just to see how the other dominoes may fall in all of this. Coming up, some other things we'll probably have to save for tomorrow when it comes to quarterbacks. Which quarterbacks have the most to prove? I think there's tiers to that whole conversation. I did hear a debate on ESPN about which quarterbacks have the most to prove this year. I think I've given you my list already in the offseason, but I do think that there's nuance to that conversation. Different guys have different things to prove. We'll probably have to wait until tomorrow to dive into that. But speaking of quarterbacks, when we come back, maybe we'll look at the quarterbacks of the SEC after a question about Spencer Rattler came into the show yesterday. It's the Mar Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
There you go. Lord have mercy. I said,
it's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Hey, we usually do a top 10 list on Tuesdays. We don't really have a top 10 list. I'll give you this top 10 instead. I saw this. I don't know how they came about this. I don't know if this is a poll or what. Ugliest states in the country based off of the people in the state. Which states in this country produce the ugliest people? Number 10. In fact, you know what? You got the opener? I just saw this list. Let's turn this into, we'll do it on the fly. We'll do it live. Tuesday Top 10.
Time for the Tuesday Top 10, where we rank anything from quarterbacks to cheeseburgers right here on the Morrow Midday Show. Interested?
Who's not interested in this list? The 10 ugliest states based off of the people in the state, not the area. That's like, I don't want to go to that state. There's nothing to see there. It's an ugly state. No, the people that live in the state. Did South Carolina make the top 10 of ugliest states? Let's find out, shall we? Number 10, Wyoming. Wyoming is the 10th ugliest state when it comes to the people of Wyoming. Isn't Yellowstone? Is Yellowstone Wyoming?
Good question. Right. Let me look at that real quick. Is this like attractiveness or just the people in general, like being ugly people?
No, like attractiveness.
Okay.
Yeah. Men and women, just in general. Again, I don't know how they determine this. I don't know if this is one person's opinion or what, or if they did some sort of study to come up with who has the most attractive residents.
Yeah, it's in Wyoming, by the way.
Yeah, so I guess they don't like their Cowboys. Wyoming's number 10, ugliest state. Number 9, and I've been to Wyoming, and yeah, I don't know. I don't know about the people, but the state to me wasn't very impressive. Number 9, Arizona. I've never been to Arizona. Arizona, 9th. I'll tell you what, though. A lot of people are retiring to Arizona. Maybe that has an impact. But 9, Arizona for the ugliest states. Have you been to Arizona before?
I've been to Arizona, yeah. I would push back a little bit because whoever made this list probably has never been to Arizona State or Arizona. So you gotta factor that in. There are some beautiful people around there.
That's true. Arizona State's like the number one party school.
Oh, yeah.
Number 8, New Mexico. I've never been to New Mexico. Number 7. Massachusetts hits close to home for me, but not quite home. I tell you what, I mean, they're known as mass holes, so if you want to talk about, like, personality or the way they treat people, sure, I could see an ugliness there. And in terms of the actual attractiveness of the people of Massachusetts, I don't know. Maybe, I guess. I could see it, I guess, largely based off of personality. Number 6, Kentucky. Number 5, Illinois, for the ugliest states or the states with the most attractive people. Number 4, New Hampshire. Yeah, I get it. New Hampshire. There's like more farm animals than people. A lot of farmland. New Hampshire. There's nothing in New Hampshire. In fact, Adam Sandler's originally from New Hampshire. That's the one positive thing about New Hampshire. And if you're listening in New Hampshire, and we know you are, hello, happy Tuesday. Number 3, New Jersey. I'm surprised by 3. I think New Jersey, number 3, I think something that really hurts New Jersey is kind of like the Jersey Shore. Now, on the Jersey Shore, a lot of those people aren't actually from New Jersey, but then it spurned like a whole new group of people that wanted to be like those on the Jersey Shore.
Absolutely.
Yes.
That was a whole phase for about 10, 15 years.
And there's people that are still holding on to that phase, too. So I don't know what you think. Maybe you grew up watching the Jersey Shore and you found those people attractive. Whatever floats your boat. I think that really brings down New Jersey. Is that you got a lot of, that's what the terms become. When you say Guido, that's usually what you mean, the people of the Jersey Shore. So they got a lot of Guidos around there running around New Jersey. Number 3 on the list. New Jersey, by the way, especially if you're from the Northeast, New Jersey is the state that everybody always picks on. I do like New Jersey. It's a great state. The people are very fun from the state of New Jersey. But people always call it the armpit of America. New Jersey, number 3 for the ugliest state. Number 2, North Dakota. Have you ever been to North Dakota?
Never been to North Dakota. No, and I would like to at some point go see the Dakotas, no doubt about it. But no, I've never, so I don't know if I can judge the folks out there in North Dakota.
Yeah, they're number 2. Mount Rushmore is what, South Dakota? It's in one of the Dakotas.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's South Dakota. All right, so there's nothing, there's no reason to go to North Dakota. Number 1, ugliest states. Would you have any guesses? What would you get? What would you think
man.
Would be
the
state
tough.
With the ugliest people in the country?
Oh, this is gonna be difficult. And man, I have one state in mind. Man, this is tough because there's a big city there where I know a lot of very attractive people, men and women. Missouri.
Oh, fortunately for Missouri, not on the top 10.
St. Louis probably helps them out there.
Number 1, ugliest state. This state apparently produces more non-attractive people than any other state, for whatever reason. And I wish I had the criteria for this whole list. Number 1, Arkansas.
Ah, okay.
Ugliest state.
Ugliest state.
If you're from Arkansas, I'm sorry. My condolences. Ugliest state in the country, according to this one study.
No love for Arkansas, huh? No love.
No. Arkansas, number 1. North Dakota, 2. 3, New Jersey, yada, yada, yada. So there you go. Ugliest states in the country.
At least the states we're from didn't make the list.
That's true. Cool. I was worried when I was looking at the list. Oh, I hope Connecticut's not on there.
A little confidence boost there.
Yeah. So anyways, there you have it. I only have the top 10. I wish I could tell you all. I wonder where South Carolina would rank. I would love to see the opposite, the 10 most attractive states. But I don't know. I only have the top 10. I could tell you South Carolina, North Carolina, not in the top 10. So that's good. I could tell you that South Carolina, this also tells me that South Carolina is the 11th most obese state.
Oh, good.
36% of the population is considered obese. Now, I will say this in defense of those that maybe qualify. Obese is a tough standard.
Very tough.
You go to the doctor, you're like, oh shoot, I'm technically obese? Like, you don't even realize technically what we believe to be obese. So take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. But South Carolina is the 11th most obese state, 36% of the population. The most obese state is Mississippi. But, hey, good on Mississippi that they did not crack the top 10 of ugliest states.
I'll tell you what, when I was living there, I put on about 10 pounds pretty quick because the food is magnificent. Very good.
I'm sure. So there you go. And then now you've come back to South Carolina, and the weight has just melted away.
Hasn't really helped either place.
Yeah, I'm sure. A lot of good food around here. So Mississippi, most obese. Arkansas is called the ugliest state in the country.
Man.
There's a feather in your cap if you're from Arkansas. Like, hey, what's your state known for? We have ugly people. That's what you could say. They are called, aren't they the hogs, right, for a reason, Arkansas? So anyways.
Who do you think would be, like, the top, like, with the prettiest people? Would it be California?
Probably.
Yeah, I would probably have to say California.
So I was thinking, as I was going through this list, I was also pondering in my head about Florida.
Yeah.
I think Florida would be a good one. Florida's a mixed bag. Florida's got a lot of, especially you go to South Florida, right, a lot of beautiful people. But then you also have, you always turn on the news and you see the Florida man or these crazy stories from Florida,
yeah,
and you see some of these mugshots and the people that are just like out in the sun too long and burnt out and or even strung out. So Florida's a little bit of a, I'm curious where Florida would be on the list, because Florida, especially certain parts of the state, a lot of beautiful people, a lot of money in certain parts of Florida, people that take care of themselves, maybe even some surgery going on in Florida. But then you also get the flip side where it's like you walk down the street of certain parts of Florida and it's like, oh my goodness, where am I? Is this a house of mirrors? So, so Florida, I'm curious to see. I thought maybe they'd crack the top 10, but there's a lot of good-looking people in Florida, too.
Thank you. Appreciate that, by the way.
Yeah,
born in South Florida. Appreciate that. And it's the middle of Florida that gets the bad rap on the news. It's, you know, and you live there, so you know. Like, it's a lot of central Florida that's out there.
Yeah, well, I could tell you some stories. Let me tell you. Jeez. So, yeah. So, I am curious. Yeah, California, I think, would be a safe bet for number one.
Definitely the safest out of all the states.
Hard to judge. I don't know. How do you How do you even come up with like a full state? There's a lot of people in a state.
New York. I mean, you could. Well, the upstate.
Yeah, that's true. I lived in Western New York. I spent a year there. There's not much to discuss. Yeah, but you know, New York City, of course, big for modeling. You have actors and actresses. So of course, the same idea, mixed bag. Yeah. Then you get towards like the upstate. You get out west. Maybe not as great. I don't know.
Texas. I wonder where Texas is.
Ooh, Texas is a good one.
Yeah, Dallas. I mean, Austin, Houston. There's a lot of places where a lot of beautiful people come
from. Texas would be a good one. Now I'm very curious. I'm going to have to try to find the opposite, the 10 most attractive states. Maybe we'll do that to wrap up your Tuesday next. There's your we did it on the fly, Tuesday top 10. I'll be honest with you, I didn't have a top 10 list today. We had other things we were going to get to. We have gotten a little derailed throughout the afternoon, but that's fine. And we'll get back to some of those topics on the show tomorrow. And instead, I had to make sure I got this across, the 10 ugliest states. So if you're planning a family trip this summer, maybe avoid some of those states I mentioned. And thank me later. We'll wrap up your Tuesday next. It's the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Love, oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America? Something to see, baby. Ain't that America? Home of the free, yeah. Little pink houses for you and me. Oh, yeah. You and me.
Wrapping up your Tuesday on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Yeah, ain't that America? Breaking down the 10 ugliest states in the country. Hopefully you don't hail from one of those states, but even if you do, you're not what they were thinking of when they made that list. Everybody else that lives in that state, or the majority, I guess. Again, I don't know how you come up with a list like that either, but I always find it intriguing. You know, we love our lists around here in the Morrow Midday Show. That's why we came up with a whole segment for it each and every Tuesday. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. Search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. And the podcasts are also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com. That's the time of year as well. Dan Patrick's show always jokes around about that this time of year, that this is list season. Everybody puts out their different lists, and I know on the Dan Patrick Show, right, they'll talk about some lists as well, and you break it down, and it's easy material. Then you have the person who wrote the list on the show, and, oh, why did you put this person ahead of this person? And we do plenty of lists around here, but that's the time of year. It's list season this time of year as we head towards the football season. Hey, don't forget you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go. Just simply stream us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. Or also through your smart speaker, through TuneIn Radio, or our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. And through the app, you can listen to the show live or on demand from anywhere in the world. Just search Charleston, ESPN Charleston in the App Store. On the text line, somebody said West Virginia should be number one. Wasn't it West Virginia?
You ever been to Morgantown? I don't know.
No, I have not.
I've been there a couple times.
That was a good location.
Yeah.
I have been to West Virginia before. But anyways, West Virginia, one texter believes West Virginia should be number one. If you ever miss anything from the show, catch you on demand, such as the full top 10 rankings. West Virginia, they were not in the top 10, right? So they, according to this source, they did pretty well for themselves. Coming up in the show tomorrow, we'll circle back to quarterback play in the SEC. Plus, talk about Arch Manning winding up at Texas and which of these new coaches in college football can have the most success. And also which quarterbacks have the most to prove in the NFL. Plenty more to do on the show tomorrow. In the meantime, catch the show on demand. Live is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we say goodbye. We'll say hello again tomorrow at noon. It's the Mara Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.